You're listening to Money Making Mothers with Carla Edwards, where we discuss the highs and lows of being a working parent, how to master the art of spinning plates, and remind ourselves that just because you became a mother does not mean your dreams no longer exist. You can have it all.
Hi everybody, welcome to this week's episode of Money Making Mothers, where I am joined by Shirley. Now Shirley has worked in the finance industry for well over a decade and has had highs and lows along the way. She single-handedly brought up her daughter, where she has been the main caregiver both financially and emotionally. So for all you single mothers out there, this is one that really is inspiring.
My name's Shirley Gooden. I'm a mortgage and protection advisor. I work for a company called Bright Advice in St. Neots. They're based in St. Neots, but I work from home. I've been a mortgage advisor on and off for, since 2003. Made redundant in 2008 in the crash. Said I would never, ever be an advisor again because they're all evil incarnate. The whole finance industry is awful. I never want to be involved in anything like this again. And I'm doing it again. But who I work for now is a different experience. So I'm enjoying it this time around. That's in a nutshell. I'm a mum to a 14-year-old. That's at the moment, in a nutshell, me.
Fab. So, my first question is, obviously, I know you said there that you'd never, ever work for finance again, and you are. But with you having a 14-year-old girl, what's her name?
Keely.
So with you having Keely, why do you do what you do? So why do you do the job that you do? Obviously, with being are you a single mother as well?
100%, in every sense of the word. So it is literally just myself. There is no shared access. It is just me. When I was made redundant, the industry at the time and potentially who I worked for had a big impact on how I viewed the job I was doing. I didn't feel I was cut out for it. I love people. I love helping people. I don't like ripping people off. I don't like scamming people. And it started to feel, again, probably based on who I was working with, that it was going down that road. So when I was made redundant, I just thought, I'm going to do something different. Unfortunately, being a single mum on my own and the recession hit in, for the first time in my whole life since the age of 16, I couldn't get a job for love nor money. And being a single mum, it was even more difficult. So I landed a job at a brewery. I was there for a good 6-7 years after many part-time jobs, just catching whatever I could. Kind of got a bit stuck in a rut and then was made redundant from there. But that actually ended up being a godsend because I'd stayed in touch with a friend, a colleague that I'd worked with previously as a mortgage advisor. He'd always encouraged me and said, look, you're great at what you do. Don't give up on it. You still got your qualifications. She'd always go on at me. I was made redundant, and that was kind of, I think, at a point where I thought, right, I need to look for something. I know I'm qualified as an advisor. It wasn't something I thought I wanted to do. I did it out of desperation. But she'd introduced me to somebody who I now work for at Bright Advice, and his whole philosophy, without going into too much detail, is very, very different to that I'd come across when I'd done it before. And he is very much client-focused, and it is all about looking after the clients as well as making money. So, I've been there since. I've been there sort of the last 3 years. And now I can honestly say, although I do it to keep a roof over mine and my daughter's head and food on the table and all the basic stuff, obviously, I do also do it because I feel, how can I say this without sounding arrogant, but I'm actually good at it. And I think when you're good at something, you get a sense of job satisfaction. You get a sense of thinking, when you get up in the morning, actually, I'm all right. Yes, I've got a tough day, but actually, essentially, I'm quite good. There's nothing worse than being in a job where you don't feel you're any good at what you do. It's not good for your self-esteem. So, yeah, I think I'm good at it. I think it puts food on the table. And, it's really helping me work towards my future and what I want to do and my future plans.
So when you said there about, obviously, it's so important to be good at what you do and love what you do. When you get up in the morning, Are you happy to be going to work? Are you excited for your day? You don't have that dread of, oh my God, it's Monday again.
Okay. Before lockdown, I'd have said yes. Probably the wrong time to be asking me that question. Being a mortgage advisor at the moment is unbelievable. But that's just because that's the way it is. That's not because I don't like my job. It's just the way it is at the moment. But generally speaking, yes, I feel like I get up. I have purpose in my job. I know what I want to do. You know, if I decide I want to set my mind to doing something within my role, I feel like I can go towards it and do it. So yeah, I don't have that sense of, oh God, I've got to go into work today. Other than the usual, I wish I could just, you know, swan around on holiday for the rest of my life without having to earn a living. Other than that, no, I'm all right. I'm good.
It's like, I always think if you don't, you're at work. I know it's not a fact statistic, but I work out realistically, you spend about 75% of your life doing your job, don't you? So for me, if you're doing your job 75% of your life and you don't enjoy it or you don't like it or you don't look forward to your day, then basically you're not enjoying life.
Like, that's 75% of your life. 75% of your life you're not enjoying, and that is detrimental to anyone's mental health. It's detrimental to, you know, your spiritual health, everything. It's not good for you. You can't maintain that for a long period of time without it having an effect,
and on your family as well.
100%.
So it's like, 100%. And I think, God, I don't want my kids thinking, you know, is that what work is? You finish school at 16, you might do college, you might go to uni, or you might go straight into a job, and then you just, that's it now. Like, I think we're sort of trained in society that, right, you do this, and you do this. And I think when children look and the parents say, oh, I hate my job, or I don't, you know, they're not having any sort of satisfaction for themselves out of the career.
Yeah.
That is that what children are going to expect? That's what happens. You go, when you hit 16, 17, 18, you now hate life for 75% of the time.
100%. Well, the whole education system was built around, wasn't it, years and years and years ago, the Victorian era. It was about kids not thinking about, you know, unless you were very wealthy, about sort of aspiring to anything. You just had to sit at a table, learn what you had to learn so that you could be compliant, so you could go and work in a factory, and that was it. But obviously, although things have changed within the curriculum, actually it's still the same model. You have to go to school, you have to learn the same things that everyone else in your class learns, and you have to be okay and good at it to succeed in life. And that is an absolute farce. I'm not against education by any stretch of the imagination. It's important. I'm trying to get my daughter some extra tuition. Of course I think it's important for their self-esteem more than anything, so they don't feel left out. But in terms of it being the be-all and end-all and having to do everything in a set way that everybody else does, absolutely nonsense. Yeah. Some of the people that, you know, the most inspirational people that I've looked up to didn't do things in the way that they were supposed to do them. So, no.
Yeah. I mean, me personally, I think before I went self-employed, I'll be honest, I thought that education was the be-all and end-all, and that if you didn't have, you know, because in school, I really bought in, you need to be the best, you need to have the A stars, otherwise you're not going to get employed, and I fed into it.
Yeah.
And then when I went self-employed, it opened my eyes to Jesus. Like, you know, and you start educating yourself more on, like you've just said, people who are so successful and you look up to them, and they didn't go the same direct route. Yeah. Really, education is just an ingredient to do what you want to do. It's not the be-all and end-all of, right, this gives you to go into this job or put you in a box to do this. You have to do it because it's part of life, but it doesn't mean that it has to be the only thing that you focus on.
100%. You know, I say to my daughter, look, if you do well, and it's such a cliche to say, I don't care what your results are as long as I know you tried. And the reason for that in itself is a life lesson. If you can try and do something that you really don't want to do, even if you fail, the fact that you said, I hate doing this, but you know what, I'm going to do it, that's going to only help strengthen you later on in life, because there are going to be things in life you're not going to want to do. And you need to very early on have that in you to be able to know, okay, this is just a necessary evil. I don't want to do it. I'm going to give it my all, but I'm not going to absolutely destroy myself if it doesn't go the way I want it to go. That's more of a lesson I'd like my daughter to take from school, rather than if I don't get a straight A+. Nothing wrong with that. You know, my brother went to university. I didn't. He swore by it. You know, I didn't. It's not, you know, each to their own. If you found that at school, that's absolutely amazing. And why shouldn't you? Again, it's self-esteem. If you can be good at something, especially when you're young and at school, that's brilliant. But that those that are thinking, hang on a minute, I don't fit into this mold, therefore I can't be successful, absolute nonsense.
Absolutely. Like you said there, as long as you give it what you can and you try, that's all that matters, isn't it? Because otherwise, you know, you're quitting. And that's the thing that's not acceptable.
Can't have that.
You can't quit.
Can't have that.
Right, so that leads on to the next question of, when you said there, obviously I know you were at different jobs throughout your daughter's life, but how do you find juggling work and motherhood in all aspects, not just this job?
from beginning to end, has been such a different journey. So when my daughter was much younger, I went back to work when she was 5 months old out of necessity. Now, when I was made redundant, she was probably, I'd say, a couple of years old. And at that point, or not much more than that, at that point, especially at that point, I'd established I was going to be doing this journey as a single man on my own. I kind of felt, which is slightly different to maybe if you have your partner there, I kind of felt that I needed to make a sacrifice. I was either going to work full time and know that we wouldn't struggle for money, or I was going to be there at the assemblies and all of that, but know that we were going to struggle for a while. Now, there is no right or wrong answer. I have to say that. There really is none. You make a decision and you just stand by it. And my decision at that time, for whatever reason, was I'm just going to work part-time jobs. I'm just going to do what I can and be there, you know, in my sports role. That was a personal decision based on my personal circumstances. You know, you're damned if you do, you're damned if you don't. Because later on, you know, there were times when my daughter would say, you know, why don't we have money? And I used to think, oh, do you know what? Why didn't I just do that? Because at least we would have had money, we would have had this. But then you can do that and your child can come back to you and say, you were never there, you were never there. So you kind of, as a parent, damned if you do and damned if you don't. So you make your decision, you remember why you make it, and you make peace with it. It's as simple as that. As long as you're doing it for the right reasons, that's it. You can't go wrong. So I did that. We then got to a point where she started to get older. I don't necessarily believe or buy into that as your child gets to teenage years, they no longer need you. I think on so many levels, they need you more. Not physically, they don't need you to change their nappies and cut their food up for them, but they need you emotionally, I think, a lot more. So although I went back to work full time, especially doing advising, my daughter was struggling at school. There were things that just weren't blending. And like you said, trying to find that balance of knowing I'm doing well at my job and you know, being competitive, which I am naturally, and wanting to do better than I did the month before, and seeing someone else and thinking, do you know what, in a good way, they've done really well, I can do that. But yeah, then thinking, looking behind me, thinking, but I've got a child here who actually needs me and needs my support and needs to be present, which is not easy,
especially
to do
when you're a single mum as well, so you haven't got anyone else to fall back on at
exactly.
all.
Exactly, there's no one else to pick up that baton. So like I say, if there is somebody else there, it's a different situation. You can almost tag team it, but when there isn't, I had to be mindful of that. So I made the decision and I spoke to the employers I'm with now, and I said, look, I want to go to work from home. I want to work from home, which means that I can be have that flexibility of knowing that I can be there when she comes in from school. You know, all the little things that I wanted to do to make life feel a little bit more comfortable and to help me be a bit more present. Which meant that, you know, if she's in bed, I can then get my laptop out and do a bit of work. It didn't bother me. It didn't faze me. So that helped massively for me to get that work-life balance, 100%. But actually, what's only really helped me even more since then is my management, my diary management, which sounds really basic, but because I don't know about you, I struggle to say no. If I see an opportunity, I literally have to zip my mouth shut to say, I can't say no. I like opportunity. I like trying things. If I see something, I think, oh, I could do that. I want to do it. I've had my finger in so many different pies in my life. It's unbelievable. But what I've learned is you can still do that. You can still have your hand in every pie, but just slow it down a bit. It doesn't have to be right this second. And that's something that has taken me many, many years for me personally to understand and be able to kind of harness almost. It doesn't have to be the second. So for clients is a classic example. If I have evening appointments, or, you know, if I have appointments that need to be done at different times, I would always say yes, 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 yes. Now it's no, I have two set evenings a week and I'm not moving from that.
And also that's scary, isn't it? Like just
to put on
a personal note, it's like you're scared.
It's terrifying.
It took me only like two years, but I'm the same. Yeah. I've only just started to say no, I'm not available. Yeah. It's this, because yes, a year ago, I'd have worked till 10 o'clock at night because I'd have been scared that if I never said yes, someone else would.
Exactly. That fear of missing out in a completely different way. 100%. And in some ways, it's a good thing. It means that, you know what? One, you're a hustler, you're a grafter. And two, it means that you really do want to seize the moment and take the opportunity, but not at the expense of your time, your quality time with your family, you know, with yourself. It was getting to the point where if I wasn't doing something, I felt guilty that I wasn't doing something. That's not clever. That's not smart. You know, if you look at countries like Denmark and Norway, they have such an amazing attitude towards the family and work-life balance. I mean, I'm not saying we'll be like that here. they have three-day weekends. They insist that it's important, and this is employers as well, which is important. It's important that their employees have a good work-life balance because they will be more productive.
Yeah, and then you'd be happier, won't you? Like you just said earlier, the happier you are, the better you are at your job.
You'll have loyal employees, you'll have a good workforce who's well, that mentally well fit in all ways well, you'll have a much more productive business. So it's a philosophy I think that the UK starting to understand is really important. But for years and years, I've gone hell for leather and I'm like, no, that's it doesn't have to be like that. So doing that in both my work diary and my home diary massively as well, I'll chop things into a day and then think, actually, what I do now is I'll break that down. So let's say I'm doing something, I'll put an hour or half hour slot, depending on how brave I feel, in between a fresh air. Now, I couldn't have done that a few years back. There's no way I could have done that. I have to be filling that with something. No, I don't, because life throws curveballs at you. What do you do when you've got this compacted diary and then a curveball throws in? Everything goes crazy. Yeah. And then what goes out the window? That time you were going to spend with your child, or that family time you were going to have, or, you know, something you were going to do.
Jesus, Shirley, that's it. Like, I know how you feel, and I've got, like, KO. Like, I've got another adult who, if that curveball comes in, I can say, right, sorry, we're not going to be able to do that tonight, but can you still do it? So then, although I feel guilty that I can't do it, I know the kids aren't missing out. Whereas, Jesus, for you, like, hats off to you, because you must have, I don't mean this to sound awful, but your mum guilt must go, like through the roof with things like that. But sometimes you just can't help it.
It has done for many years, and you actually raised a really important point about not wanting your child to look and think that this is all that life is about, you know, because it very much got to that point, you know. And my daughter would say, you know, oh, all you do is work, or because all she's seeing is me, you know, working. Of course, at 14, she's not going to appreciate, yes, but this is what you do. At 14, I wouldn't have necessarily appreciated that. So it is about, you know, just me, I personally, for my circumstances, had to put these little buffer zones in. And do you know what the joke of it is? It hasn't made me any less productive. Yeah. And it's made me think, I wish to God I'd have just done it before.
I know, but you wouldn't have known that you have to go through them types of things to know, don't you? Because otherwise, like, what, like, that's the whole part of life, is learning lessons that you didn't know before. And like I said, last year, I'd have never said no. Now, it doesn't even bother me. I think, you know, if you don't want to wait for 3 days, then go and find someone else, because it is important to do that. But how did Kayleigh feel about your job?
My job?
Yeah.
Okay. In her own words, at one point, she said, if there's one job I never want to do, it's a mortgage advisor. She said, if there is one job in this world that I don't do, it's that. She said, you know, I don't want to do that. I definitely don't want to do that. And I said to her, do you know what? And we have these talks all the time, and I'm very, very much, I think it's so vital that as early on as possible, your child figures out the type of person that they are. So what ticks their boxes and what doesn't. Because the sooner you can figure that out and help them figure it out, more importantly, the sooner you can get them going in the direction that hopefully one day they'll end up career-wise. It's so important. So for her, she's you know, she's extremely creative. I'm actually naturally not an analytical person myself. I've had to learn to develop that in the job that I do. I'm naturally a chatty person, a sociable person. And Kayleigh's very creative. So, you know, as much as she doesn't like my job, I've made it clear to her, you don't ever have to do that job. There's millions of jobs out there that you can do. But I think part of the reason that she doesn't like my job is, again, as you said, because she's seen how much hard work I've had to put in. And just thought, this means no, you know, this is meant for a long time, no downtime between the two of us, which is, you know, an unfortunate casualty. But like you say, with hindsight's a great thing. Learning what I know now, it has become much, much easier. You know,
and that'll be the same. You don't know it yet, and she doesn't know it yet, but Kayleigh will be the same. Hindsight, when she looks back when she's 18, she'll think, all right, that's why. And it's hard. That's the part that I really struggle with the mum guilt is, your child's too young to understand why now, and you're trying to explain it to them in a way they do understand, but they're not going to understand it because they don't give two shits about finances or what it means or what a mortgage is or having, you know, you've got to pay your bills to be able to live in this house. Your uniform costs money, and you don't want to put that pressure on them of, this is why I'm doing this, because of this, and this, because then it's like, I always feel like that it would come across as if you owe me, you know, I'm doing this because this costs this, and you don't want that. But they will eventually understand why. But it's like you said there, it's trying to get them first to understand what they want to do. And then they can take them little bits that are now negative, turn them into a positive, and use the hard work philosophy that you've shown to do what she wants to do.
Perfect. I couldn't have said that. Channel it into what she wants to do. And as much as she complains, and I we were having this conversation recently, actually, I get my work ethic 100% from my dad. My dad was a grafter and has been and still is, even though he should have retired. So,
what did he do?
He was always a long distance lorry driver. Suited him perfectly. And in some ways, it does make me think, do you know what? He did a job that was perfect for him. He's sociable, he's bubbly, but he loves his time on his own. And for him, at the time, that was all he was ever qualified to do. And he was happy to do that. And he still does that to this day. But his grafting, you know, getting up early in the morning, going to work, that consistency, that you've got to work for what you want, that 100% I got from my dad. And again, as you said, I didn't see that at the time. I didn't realise that at the time. But clearly, in the way I am, that's where I got it from. You know, kids, a lot of the time, they do as they see, not necessarily as they're told. And I know, as much as Keely says that, I know for a fact, exactly like you said, when she's ready to go into whatever she wants to go in, it can't have helped but had an effect on her. She knows what hard work is and what you need to do. So that will, I have every confidence, kick in when she's older and when she
it's
needs
like it. The things that are negatives now will eventually turn into positives as long as they're done the right way. You know, you can't force children to do what they don't want to do. Right. Or you can give them the guidance of this is why. You just fathom it out for yourself along the way. But that's the way I see it anyway. 100%. So third question is, what has been the most difficult time of the journey so far, from becoming a mother, juggling, doing the, you know, with the redundancies and things, what has been the biggest struggle?
I think obviously, as you said, I love your chat, mam guilt. Mum guilt, 100%.
Mum, sorry, Northerners.
Don't apologise. I'm obsessed with the Northern accent. I love it. Whenever I've gone up north, it's really bizarre because I'm a chatty person. I'll talk to anybody, but that's not a Southern thing. You can't do that, apparently.
Have you seen that thing, that clip on YouTube of, oh my God, I'll send you it, where it's a Southerner like doing a broadcast going, a Northerner's coming to London, they're going, news just in, a person actually spoke to us. We soon settled him down, and the man's going, I just said hello. I didn't know I wasn't allowed to speak to people, but it's so true. Because, like, when you go down south, it's like no one speaks. Where's he? You're like, hey, love, you know, everywhere you go.
I was absolutely gobsmacked. I remember going to Leeds and going to Liverpool, and people are just like talking to him, like, this is like my world. Why was I not born up here? It's insane. I love everything about the Northern accent. So, yeah, no, don't worry about that. So, no, mum guilt 100%. So, as I've mentioned, that journey I've had, obviously. A lot of guilt where that's concerned and trying to get it right and balancing it right. I think support as well and being taken seriously, I think, is massively important and has been a bit of a battle, if I'm honest with you, in some places that I've worked. So just in terms of whether, I don't want to say if it's necessarily just being female, I know it's a mainly male-dominated industry. I can't pinpoint it down to that, but I can say that there are times when, for whatever reason, I haven't felt taken seriously, when I've had ideas, when I've wanted to try things that maybe would have helped me do my job better, or just in general wanting to take things further and get more training or whatever, and just do what you're doing and don't worry, you know, that I've found has actually held me back. One job I was at before, I'd tried to get jobs in different areas to sort of better myself. I think I'd gone for about 7 or 8 different interviews, and you know, again, it's, I just think sometimes you need to establish, when you have employees, if they're doing a job, that's great. But if they have potential and if there is room for movement, support them. It's so important. It really is. Because all you'll end up with is someone that's doing a job they don't like forever. And they'll be miserable. And they're not going to be that productive anyway. Or they will just leave. So I just think that is something sometimes in the journey I've had that I felt that maybe has been missing, in terms of people just being able to say, all right, let's just give that a shot, or let's talk about it more, or you're not ready now, but let's put you on a path to that. I found that lack of support in certain jobs has been really frustrating.
When you talk about support in terms of like the career and going further and developing things, how would that have impacted on family life, in terms of, because you are a single mum and you are the only person who can do it? How would you
The job I'm doing now, I do more now and I'm more productive now, but the people I work for took a chance on me when I said, look, I need to balance this. I need to work from home. Now, that at the time, it wasn't like it. It was about a year or so, or just over a year ago that I did this. So well before COVID.
Yeah, before everyone worked from home.
Yeah, nobody really was working from home, and they ummed and ahed. But you know what? They took a shot, and I said, I promise you, I will feel better within myself. I'll be more productive. I'll be able to balance it. Can we just give it a go? And if I completely fail and it all goes to pot, then fine, you know, I'll come back to the office. And lo and behold, my figures went up, everything changed. My home life balance was better, everything was better. So that was an example of someone giving me support, taking a chance on me and saying, okay, you know, let's see how this goes. And it working brilliantly. So not only was it good for me, it was good for the company because my figures just rocketed. So yes, in terms of career, it doesn't necessarily have to mean sort of working that I wanted to work 12 hours a day or go and, you know, and fly around the world. It was just more in just having a little bit more outside the box way of thinking. It's that frustration sometimes. If you've got somebody who sat down and saying, look, I've got this plan, I've got this idea, what do you think to that? Try things. That's my point.
And obviously you're in a good position now where, like you said, you can work from home, you can fulfill the career and the mum role at the same time. But going back to when Keely was younger, was, you know, when you worked in the brewery, for example, how did you balance, like, how did you juggle that? Because I can't imagine, you know, not having another adult to where I couldn't do. Do you know what I mean? Like,
it was extremely, extremely difficult. I want to say it wasn't, but it was. I know a lot of people say that you can be a single parent and you can do it all, and I believe, yeah, you can scrape through, but that doesn't mean you're going to do a great job of any of the things you're doing.
It's hard enough when you're 2 years.
Exactly.
And grandparents and everyone else's support, you never mind, on your own. There's no way I could do it, so hats off to you. No way on this earth.
It was extremely tough, and I think that was a very difficult period in both mine and my daughter's life because it was, and that was a classic example of me trying to better myself to make life easier within that company, and it just wasn't happening. It wasn't there was no way around it. It's difficult. I think now, obviously, looking back, you know, hindsight is a great thing. I know the things I know now, but sometimes you're just in a situation and you just have to make that choice. What do I just continue and just hope that things get better and keep your eye out and, you know, and just try for something different in the future, or you know, it can be sink or swim. It was tough. It was very
you're not only juggling like work life, mum life, you're juggling, like, don't take this wrong way, but mum and dad role at the same time. You're doing two, three things at once, really, without probably not even giving yourself enough credit and realising how much you're doing.
No, I don't think I did it at the time. I think I'm very much a person that if something needs to be done, I will get on and do it. I might have a little bit of a whinge here or there, but I get to a point where I think, okay, I can only whinge so much. Now I'm spending that much time on the whinging, I'm not spending time on actually doing what I need to do. But, and that is important, and that's where the self-care and looking after yourself and trying to balance things and making that your priority is so important, because like I've said, you can only maintain that for so much, you know, and to think that it's not having an effect on your child or your family is delusional. Of course it is, you know, it absolutely is. Whatever has an effect on you is 100% having an effect on your child. So yeah, it was very, very tough. It's very difficult. And it was part of the reason why when she started to need my help, when she'd got to a certain age, that I did approach, you know, my employers and said, look, something's got to give.
Yeah.
I just thought, I'm not going down that road.
She's the main priority. And when it comes down to it, you know, you can't, no matter how much you want a career or how much you want it financially or whatever, that is what that matters the most.
Definitely. And you only get a certain amount of time in your child's life to do that. And then whatever it is, all you can then do is guide them. So, you know, I just think, yeah, it's massively important. And the teenage years are hugely important. So, yeah.
Obviously, I've only got, my eldest is 9, so give me an honest response. Where am I sitting? Is it going to get harder?
Is it three boys?
No, oh, I've got a 9-year-old boy, 5-year-old boy, and a 2-year-old daughter.
That's right, you've got a daughter, haven't you? Yeah, what can I say? It depends, really. It's not so much that it gets harder, it gets different. So what you now start to need to be more aware of is more the emotional side of it, I feel, in terms of, you know, if you've got a child and they got into their hormone years, I actually went on a course, amazing, the Teenage Mind course it was called, and it explained to you what happens in the teenage brain. And up until not so long ago, it was always assumed that not a lot happens. And actually now, through scientific research, they've established that actually more goes on in the teenage years, so between the ages of, let's say, 13 to 16, 17, than at any other point in your life. And that's incredible. You shed millions and millions of cells within your brain. So it's no wonder that when kids get to a teenage age, that they start to act out and they start to... Say that again.
I said the red's battered, that's why.
Yeah, exactly. And when I sat there, I mean, don't get me wrong, you know, a couple of days later when my daughter had a complete paddy, I still was, but it did help me understand. And it does sometimes when I sit there of an evening and I think, oh, what? And then I think, well, hang on, remember, this is going on in their brains. They don't even know that. Yeah. It's hard for them to deal with that, you know. So, yeah, it's tough. But then it is lovely in other ways, because you really, although you see their personality at the age they are now, at that age, you see what they're going to be like as an adult. And like my daughter's sense of humour is amazing. She's got this real dry sense of humour where she'll say nothing and then come out with stuff. So in that way, you bond with them then in a completely different way, not the cute way anymore. It's that whole,
you're actually becoming a friend now as well.
Yeah, you're a cool kid actually. You're one of my lot. I'm not, you're all right.
Yeah. You did all right, you did well. Well, that with my last question is my one I'm most interested in, to be honest, when I'm doing these interviews, is if your child could learn anything from you, what would it be?
It's difficult to pick one thing.
Say a couple, whatever's most important to you, you would look back and go, do you know what, I did all right there.
Yeah, 100%. Well, I didn't in the past, but what I'd learned, and I definitely do now, and I would want my child, 100%, is it vital for her to take away, would be to be mindful of health. And when I talk about health, I don't just mean as in going to the gym. So for me, health is three things, okay? It's mental health, it's physical health, and it's financial health. To me, if you're healthy in those three aspects, okay, you stand a very, very good chance of being okay. Okay, they're vital. Those are your key points. And I think I look past periods in my life when I haven't done so well and whatever, and guaranteed one or two of those, I might have had one of those on point, but the other two wouldn't have been. So it's being mindful. And by being mindful, it's just always being aware in the back of your mind, am I doing all right in those areas? Am I looking after myself? Am I healthy? Not amazing, not a billionaire, not ripped, just am I okay? That's important. I think fear of failure, never ever be afraid to try something. For the love of God, fear of failure is not a good enough reason not to try something, you know? Absolutely not. As a matter of fact, do something and don't worry if in your back of your mind you're thinking this could fail. Good. If it fails, fine. I'll move on to the next thing.
But
don't do it because you're worried about what people will think or that it will go wrong. Who gives a rat's ass? If it goes wrong, it goes wrong. The most, you know, some of the most successful pieces, was it Dyson? He was 64, I think, until he became successful. It's all about, you know, and he talks about when he used to do his inventions, and he said, every day I was failing, every single day. He said, you just got tough about it and realised that's life. It's full of failures. You crack on, you keep going. So don't ever be afraid of failing, I would say.
Always, I think, especially in the media and society and things, everyone talks about the ups of everything, or this has been done, but they don't talk about how many times it took, how many times it failed, how many times it didn't work, you know.
Exactly.
You only ever talk about the good side of it, and without failure you wouldn't learn to win or to be good or to be better, because that's, you wouldn't know that you had to be better if you didn't do well. So you have to 100%. Fail
100%, and that's massively important. So almost expect it, which I know some people would disagree with. You've got to always think, oh, this is going to win. Just expect it and think, do you know what, if it happens, it happens. So yeah, that's a huge one. And you know, and that I think really that they're the most important ingredients for me that I want my child to have. You know, if she is financially healthy, she's going to work hard, because she knows to be financially healthy she's got to work hard. You know, if she's looking after her physical health, she is going to be able to work hard because she's physically okay. Same with her mental health. If she's looking after that, I don't need to worry about her being all right in her job because mentally she's okay. She's going to have a good balanced life eventually with her family. So those for me are probably the most important things.
And if you were, you know, if you were trying to implement them into Keely's life, how would you prioritise them three? Where do I start? Because you've got to start somewhere. So how would you prioritise them three?
Of those three, that's why I actually said them in the order that I prioritise them, which is controversial, but I will explain why. So mental health was at the top for a reason. The reason why I prioritise mental health is mental health isn't just about having a cuddle, which is important. It's more about the pragmatic side to it. So do you know what? If I'm not well up here, if I'm massively stressed, I might drink too much. I might become really angry and not do very well at my job. I've worked places or even been that person that's been super stressed and maybe lashed out and said something to someone I shouldn't have done. I'm not going to be good at my job. It will have a massive knock-on effect anywhere, everywhere. I don't know many people that are mentally well that aren't happy and doing all right in life. Now, that doesn't necessarily mean that they're billionaires, but you don't have to be. If you are mentally well, everything else I feel will fall into place. I know many successful people, and I have known many successful people that aren't mentally well,
yeah,
and who have a hell of a lot of money, and it is pointless.
So much success, but they don't have no happiness or fulfillment from it because they're not happy anywhere.
Have many demons that are not so that's why I put mental health, because when you're mentally well and healthy, you think clearer, you're more likely to be a happier person, and that to me is number one priority. Then the physical health, you know, it comes into it, because it's a bit controversial, that one, because actually do you need to be physically healthy. So I want to differentiate between physically abled and physically healthy. You know, being physically healthy as much as you can be, short of something that's beyond your control, is hugely important. Because again, I've seen people who've lost their physical health for many reasons, for not taking care of themselves. And, you know, I know a friend who had to retire early at the age of like around 30. That's so sad, you know.
And you're so lucky to have good health, aren't you? So you need to try and maintain it and be grateful for it.
It's just, we can't take it for granted. We just don't take it for granted. You don't realise until that's gone how much harder life can be. And then financial is, and me putting it at the bottom doesn't mean it's not important. It wouldn't even be on my list if it wasn't important. It's hugely important. But being financially healthy, understanding money, always having your own back financially. So if anything went wrong, am I all right? Have I got a little bit of money tucked away? You know, being financially healthy, understanding how your credit file works, all these things that, why they're not in the curriculum school at the moment.
I really disagree with that.
It's got to be. I think it will. I think I've heard, you know, flutterings. I've spoken to teachers at school who have talked about it and tried to see if they can get it introduced. It's hugely important. It's
look, massively important. Look, my dad didn't study until I left school. How long ago now? 14, 15 years ago. And I did a business studies. Like, business studies was an option. And I look now and I think, how the hell are you expecting kids to understand business studies without giving them the foundation of, right, well, this is money, this is what you do, this is how you'd actually come to own a business, because you would have a mortgage, you'd have this, you'd have, you know, all the different aspects that you get to understand. Like, they're giving you the end goal before teaching you everything else in between.
Exactly, and then it's pointless. And when you get there, you're like, what do I do? You can even start it from when they're in lower school or when they're teeny tiny, with little things like, this is a pot, you put pennies in it, little things like that. Get it into them that they're aware and understand that money doesn't grow on trees, like where it comes from, but in a playful way, and then build on that as they get older. Hugely important. But yeah, I think that's where I'm at with those three.
And how successful are you doing with them, implementing?
To be honest with you, compared to where I would have been many years ago, so what I found is over the years, there's always been at least one missing, at least. You know, worse the time.
You're juggling constantly.
Yeah, there's always been at least one missing, and maybe two, and worse stages, potentially even three, you know, which is not where you want to be, 100%. So, and where I am now is, through being mindful of all three of them, in a much better place, more than I've ever been, to be honest with you. So that doesn't mean that I'm mentally completely perfectly healthy. Who wants to be? You know what I mean? It's more about my awareness of it. I wasn't before. I wasn't aware I needed to look after myself like that.
at this point in their age.
100% already, 100%. And that's through, it's difficult because you have to be careful that you're not lambasting your kids to a point where they're like, oh God, here we go again. And I can be guilty of that. I'm a talker, believe it or not. And I am aware of that. But I do honestly believe that even if your kid rolls their eyes, there's things I remember being told as a kid and just not being interested, ignoring, and then getting to a certain point in my life and it all coming flooding back to me.
Yeah.
So you never underestimate. Yeah, never at all. And I think she sees me doing that. You know, she saw the efforts I made to start working from home. She sees the efforts I make to take time out to do things and to be mindful, to sometimes sit in the morning and do nothing but stroke our little puppy. And she sees that. We talk about things. So I know she's aware that that's what you have to do. We've had penny jars and pots, and she understands what a credit file is. You know, I didn't sit her down at a desk and tell her. I just, every time I did stuff like that, told her what I was doing and why I was doing it. You know, and physically, she's always seen me trying to, you know, working out and doing.
Where do you sit on chores then? About, like, you know, does she get paid for doing it around the house? Like, you know,
she wants her pocket money, the chores have to be done. Yeah. It's as simple as that. Do you know what? I remember her saying, this is so hard. And I said, do you know what, Keely? It's harder for me making you do your chores than it is not. My life would actually be easier by me doing all the chores than the stress I go through trying to get her to do the chores.
Or the pain of watching them do it wrong. Oh my God, I've just started, Jackson's just started like wanting pocket money and things. And I'm like, right, okay, well, I thought, right, we'll do the dishwasher. Like, that's what he does. He empties the dishwasher and it's painful. I'm stood watching, like, oh Jesus, like, please, what are you doing? But I have to, like, my husband said to me, just let him, like, stop, because you're gonna end up taking over and doing it and then he's not going to learn. Like, let him put it away the wrong way and then tell him why it's the wrong way. And you just think, it took you 24 minutes to do something that would have took 3 minutes.
It's awful. It's awful. All of it. It's like, we're going to bake today. And then, oh, no, that's not how you do it. No, you do it. It's very, very difficult. It's easier said than done. You know, when you're used to doing things a certain way and then you're sat watching somebody achingly doing it so badly, it is really tough. But he's right. Your other half's absolutely spot on. It is a matter sometimes of just walking away, walking into another room and then going back. And then assessing. But you know what, she's 14 now, and I can honestly say things that she used to do originally, sometimes intentionally bad, I feel, call me a cynic, I don't know, but things that she was doing now she's doing spot on. And you know, there are times I used to think, I'll just leave it, just, and then I think, no, because I know how to cook, I know how to clean, I know how to do all these things because I was made to do them. You know, I think bringing up kids is also about giving them life skills. You know, you send them to school, God's sake, give them life skills so that they can be all right when they're on their own, you know?
Oh, no, definitely. I've always, like, I strongly believe, especially, I know it's a bit sexist to say, but some men don't know how to iron, how to do the washing. Like, my boys will be, from a young age, this is what you do, this is how it is, because I don't want them to be dependent on anyone other than themselves, you know? 100%. Including me.
I don't know that it's an attractive quality, because I remember dating somebody, I won't go into detail, but and he literally could do nothing for himself. And I just couldn't abide it. I thought, there's me. I do literally everything. And you can't actually do your shopping. You can't, or you can't plan things. You don't know how to run out. It just drove me insane.
I mean, each to their own, isn't it? Everyone, some people might like that, being fully, like, someone fully dependent on them, but for me, I don't want any of my children to need or depend on anyone other than themselves. There's a difference between, you know, goes without saying, if they ever needed me, I'd do everything for them. I would do it for them, but I shouldn't have to do it for them, because they're able to do it themselves. And that's the point, you know, that no one's going to give them anything in life. So it starts from a young age, like you said. The first thing you need to learn is life skills. You know, you need to learn to look after yourself. We teach them how to brush their teeth, teach them how to wipe their own backside. It's exactly the same. It's just as they get older, the little skills change. But
It does.
Yeah.
I think at the end of the day, you've got to think of it as, if I wasn't here tomorrow, do my kids know what they're doing? And that's the important thing. You know, that's what you've got to think of, I think.
Well, honestly, I think you're absolutely amazing. Like, I can't believe you did that on your own. Like, it's so, like I said, I find it so, so difficult and stressful to do it with me and my husband, never mind, you know, solely alone and doing it. So credit to you, love. You must be knackered. You
back and I just think, you know, I did a half marathon, I did a 10K, I did a walking marathon, I did all these things in between, but I think that I do have a lot of energy. Like you, I like to do a lot of different things, but at the same time, I've had to humble myself and think, just because you can doesn't mean you always should. And yeah, that's a really important lesson I've learned through the years. So yeah, it's good. But thank you very much. And thank you. Are you going to be doing this regularly? I mean,
yeah, I'm going to be doing this like weekly. I'm going to try to do. So I've got a few guests.
A new channel together or something.
The what? Sorry.
Are you putting a new channel together? And
yeah, like on. I'm not going to lie, I am so uneducated on any type this type of stuff, but I believe it's a like an Apple podcast, I think, yeah, on like where you download, yeah, someone else, yeah, is going to assist me with that because I'm terrible with it. But yeah, I'm going to do like a weekly one, and just to, and all different backgrounds, because the whole reason I want to do this is because I personally struggle daily with feeling guilty about being a working mum, and I just don't think it's fair. I really don't. And I don't want, again, going back to like the children side of it, I don't want my daughter grow up feeling that she has to sit in a certain box to be happy. But it's down to us. So unless we create awareness for the younger generation to not feel like a pressure to have to be, you know, a full-time mum or a part-time mum, unless you do things like this, you know, everyone's going to keep doing the same thing and feeling the same way. So that's really the ultimate reason why I do it. But it's been amazing today. I've loved it. Thank you so much.
Thank you for giving me the opportunity to basically have verbal diarrhea. I'm great at that.
It's been amazing. I've loved it. Thank you for your time, love. And I'll hopefully speak to you soon.
Yeah, keep me posted, won't you?
I will do,
take
love.
Take care, love.
Right, take care. Bye.
You have been listening to the Money Making Mothers podcast with Carla Edwards. If you have enjoyed the show, then leave a 5-star review on iTunes. Make sure to tune in next time, and don't forget, you can have it all.